Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 2nd of November 2024, and the title of today's show is Kamala Lies Backfiring, Dems Cheat Again, Brits Enraged. And it's been another interesting week, I have to say. It's fun to watch in most cases because we're seeing some really comedic things happen. Not only with what Trump does, he is such a comedian, but also the comedy of the absurdities that the Dems are spouting in their panic to fend off the Trump landslide. And of course, the second means that we're only 3 days away from the election. I can't wait. I'm even thinking about staying up all night here in the UK to watch it. Although, maybe it won't be so late. We'll see. So I'm going to start with some of these accusations against Trump and his supporters. I'm going to start with this garbage statement that Biden made, which they immediately tried to backtrack on. This, I think, was last week, so I probably covered it in the last show. But they're getting in trouble for this, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. This is Slate News reporting on it. White House deceptively altered Biden's garbage transcript despite warnings from stenographers. This was published yesterday. White House officials deceptively altered the transcript for President Joe Biden's shocking garbage remarks despite warnings from stenographers that the move was a protocol violation, according to reports. Stenographers raised concerns with Biden's White House handlers that altering the transcript to mislead the American people about what the president had said was a, quote, breach of protocol, emails show. According to a leaked email, a supervisor sounded the alarm on the White House press office's breach of protocol and spoliation of transcript integrity between the stenography and press offices. If there is a difference in interpretation, the press office may choose to withhold the transcript but cannot edit it independently, the supervisor wrote in the email. Our stenography office transcript released to our distro, which includes the National Archives, is now different than the version edited and released to the public by press office staff. The internal email from the head of the stenographer's office was obtained by the Associated Press. Director of White House Stenography Amy Sands also reprimanded the White House press office after the debacle, writing in an email, "After last night's process, our team would like to reiterate that rush drafts stroke excerpts the stenography office sends to assist the press office are not intended for public distribution or as the final version of the transcript. Please avoid sharing rush drafts stroke excerpts, which are subject to review and might create confusion among staff, media and the public, while our stenography office completes a thorough review process. It comes as Biden's White House handlers continue to deny that the president called half of the country garbage." Responding to the leaked internal email, White House spokesperson Andrew Bates said in a statement, "The president confirmed in his tweet on Tuesday evening that he was addressing the hateful rhetoric from the comedian at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. That was reflected in the transcript." However, what remains unclear is whether the transcript the White House cites is the one that was altered and released to the press, or the final transcript that was sent to the National Archives. The transcript dispute stems from a virtual Harris campaign call Biden participated in on Tuesday with Voto Latino. Video shows that during the Zoom call, Biden took a swipe at President Donald Trump's rally in Madison Square Garden. The Democrats and their corporate media allies created faux outrage after insult comedian Tony Hinchcliffe made a joke referring to Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage. The only garbage I see floating out there is Trump's supporters, Biden said, and the Trumps is kind of an annotation in that. He actually said his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and it is un-American. As a result of that, House Republicans are going after him. House Republicans escalate investigation into Biden's garbage comment on Trump's supporters. This was also published yesterday. The White House Stenography Office has since reported that the transcript it submitted to the National Archives is different from the one the White House Press Office disseminated, which is a breach of protocol. House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik and House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on Friday escalated their probe into the White House's alleged edits of a transcript where Joe Biden appeared to call supporters of former President Donald Trump garbage. The comment occurred on Tuesday night when the president was commenting on a comedian at a Trump rally who joked that Puerto Rico was a floating island of garbage. The two lawmakers accused the White House on Wednesday of publishing a false transcript of the remarks after a White House transcript appeared to change the quote from supporters to supporter with an apostrophe S to clarify the president's intent. Comer and Stefanik wrote to the White House on Friday demanding it produce all documents and internal communications regarding the president's statement and the release of the inaccurate transcript. They also requested the White House release the transcript the stenographers submitted to the National Archives and called for the White House Stenography Office's top supervisor to hold a briefing with the Oversight Committee. The White House cannot simply rewrite President Biden's rhetoric. In this case, it appears the White House is doing so to safeguard Vice President Harris's presidential campaign, the lawmakers wrote in the new letter. We are concerned with the latest reporting of the White House's apparent political decision to protect the Biden-Harris administration instead of following long-standing and proper protocols. The lawmakers also warn that the press office's actions could violate federal law, such as the Presidential Records Act of 1978. The press office noted that it made the change to the transcript after, quote, conferring with the president, end quote. Of course, if you watched the later Trump rally, I can't remember where it was exactly, but he trolled the Democrats big time by rolling up in a garbage truck with Trump plastered over it and then appeared on the rally stage still wearing his high-vis vest and told a hilarious story about how the whole thing came about. He really is a master of comedy. And the other thing that somebody pointed out on X, which I thought was a very valid, given how we know that Trump uses people to bring specific topics into the public eye, and that's what's happened with Puerto Rico, because I did read an X post talking about how there was so much toxic waste in Puerto Rico, not just the garbage issue, but apparently Navy had left toxic waste and even munitions there which were affecting the Puerto Ricans as well. So it's really brought this to light. And also the fact that when Trump was in power, he actually sent millions in aid to Puerto Rico after the hurricane. And unfortunately, the corrupt government failed to distribute the aid to the people. So this is back in the public eye, which is a good thing. Then we had Kamala Harris spouting about what Trump said in an interview with Tucker Carlson on Tucker's Roadshow. And even Bill Maher, who is very much a leftist, was calling it out. Vigilant Fox reports Bill Maher shocks liberals and calls the media's dishonest firing squad headline a hoax. This message is going viral. You know the media has gone off the rails when liberal commentator Bill Maher has to reel them in. But that's exactly what he did on Friday night, exposing their fake headline claiming Trump calling for a firing squad on Liz Cheney as a hoax. I don't like Donald Trump. Don't lie to me, media, and tell me he wants her, Liz Cheney, in front of a firing squad, he scorned. Maher explained that Trump was calling Liz Cheney a radical war hawk, clarifying that his words weren't a literal call for violence. He's criticising her for being a war hawk. I mean, she is Dick Cheney's daughter, Maher quipped, adding that Trump's controversial remark sounds like what hippies used to say about not sending people to die. Here's Trump's quote verbatim. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh gee, we'll send tens of thousands of troops right into the mouth of the enemy. I do wonder if he set a trap for Democrats to make a fool of themselves again. And the latest one that came out today is just beyond ridiculous. This is Modernity reporting. It's a new source that I came across. Latest Trump hoax drops. No, he wasn't simulating oral sex. They've already moved on from he wants to execute Liz Cheney. Another hoax has dropped today, and that is today. It's on the 2nd. In an attempt to stop Americans voting for Trump, they're now claiming he simulated performing oral sex on a microphone stand. What? I won't insult you by repeating what was said in these ex-posts, but the first one is from Kamala HQ, so what do you expect? Then Alicia Waltman and Strictly Kamala, Outspoken TM, and the article goes on, of course, it's complete nonsense again. He was again having technical difficulties with the microphone and explained that the stand was useless because it was too low. There are 2 days to go until the election and nothing is working for the desperate Democrats. Yesterday, they attempted to say Trump called for executing Liz Cheney. It fell flat on its face because anyone can watch the clip in full context. The day before, they attempted to claim he wanted to force women to adhere to a federal abortion ban when he wasn't even talking about abortion. This idiocy only serves to highlight how the Harris campaign is happy to outright lie and distort reality. They've built their campaign on out-of-context 10-second clips of Trump, coupled with lies anyone can see through from a mile away. The Harris campaign's Kamala HQ X account also posted several other edited clips of Trump Friday and suggested he was confused and unhinged. Meanwhile, they're claiming that this unintelligible person reading something off a phone is fire. And it's a Kamala HQ post. I am Cardi B endorses Kamala Harris. Donnie Dump, if your definition of protection is making sure our daughters have fewer rights than their mothers, then I don't want it. and they had yet another person relating something about the state stroke size of her vagina, and it was from Dom Luca. Breaking news, rapper Glorilla is performing at Kamala Harris rally with lyrics that explain the size of her vagina. Let's balance it out with some clips of what actually went on at Trump's rallies Friday, where he related his closing arguments. President Trump, I stand before you today as the only candidate who can rescue our economy from obliteration and restore it to strength, prosperity, and greatness. The economy is now a disaster and is expected to get substantially worse. And that was posted by Trump War Room. And again, Trump War Room. President Trump, 4 days before the election, they did 12,000 jobs last month, hundreds of thousands of jobs less than what it should be. Those numbers are so low, they're almost disqualifying. Trump War Room again. President Trump, if Kamala wins, you are 4 days away from the start of a 1929-style economic depression that will crush your incomes. When we win, you are 4 days away from the best jobs, the biggest paychecks, and the brightest economic future the world has ever seen. The day I take the oath of office, the migrant invasion ends and the restoration of our country begins. The United States is now an occupied country, but it will soon be an occupied country no longer. November 5th, 2024 will be Liberation Day in America. Despite all the damage she has caused, Kamala spent the final week of her campaign comparing her political opponents to the most evil mass murderers in history. You can't be president if you hate the American people. If she can't handle an interview, then she can't handle certainly President Xi of China. She will get overwhelmed, melt down, and millions of people will die. This is not a charity event. This is an election for the biggest and toughest job in human history. Kamala's closing message to Americans is that she hates you. My closing message is that I love America, and I'm inviting you to join us in building an extraordinary future for our nation. My oath of office is an oath of allegiance to you, the American people. President Trump destroys the Cheneys. It's easy for her to say she wants to start wars from the comfort of her nice home or her father's lavish home that he got from killing a big portion of the Middle East. These war hawks want to draft your kids to die in wars. I previously reported on how President Trump was calling out CBS for editing the 60 Minutes CBS News interview of Kamala. And this is Gateway Pundit reporting. Just in, President Trump sues CBS News for $10 billion for deceptively editing 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. This was published on the 31st of October. President Trump on Thursday sued CBS News for $10 billion for deceptively editing its 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. President Trump brings this action to redress the immense harm caused to him, to his campaign, and to tens of millions of citizens in Texas and across America by CBS's deceptive broadcasting conduct, the lawsuit stated, according to Fox News. I just want to add this other article I found on the subject of this execution of Liz Cheney. And this is great because this is backfiring from not only Republicans, but also Democrats. CNN contributor Jonah Goldberg retracts statement after misleading voters with erroneous execution remark on Trump's Cheney comments. After facing backlash for his inflammatory remarks, Goldberg issued a retraction on social media, admitting his error. He wrote, I need to make a statement. This morning on CNN, I referred to Trump's rifles quote as him advocating a firing squad for Liz Cheney. I was reacting in haste to what were objectively appalling and irresponsible comments that had been framed in the setup piece in the context of previous statements Trump made about shooting protesters and having generals executed. Still, I was wrong to say he was calling for a firing squad execution. After I said that, my co-panelist Brad Todd made the case that I was wrong. Brad was right, and again, I was wrong. Trump was making, albeit in his customary fashion, a different argument about Cheney's alleged foreign policy views and the use of force. I let my disgust at Trump's comments get the better of me, as this was the first time I'd heard them. Incidentally, I also saw a post, and I can't remember where it was, I don't have a copy of it, but it was outing Kamala Harris's campaign for blocking community notes that were unfavourable to her, and also astroturfing on Reddit, getting members of the campaign to post things that were positive for Kamala, looking as though they were Kamala's supporters. So it's just another case of lying and also cheating. So let's segue onto that. And this is quite a detailed report by Second Smartest Guy in the World on Substack. But I'm going to read it all because it's interesting to get some of the background to this. How the 2024 election will be stolen. Nancy Pelosi and Jamie Raskin are thinking about how to not certify a Trump victory. And I just want to say, it ain't going to work. After having served for the crime of non-compliance with a bogus subpoena issued by the wholly illegitimate and corrupt Select Committee on the January 6th attack, political prisoner and staunch patriot Steve Bannon was recently released from a federal prison. Sociopath, warmonger and radical Marxist Representative Jamie Raskin recently warned, "It's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs he's disqualified." And I just want to draw attention to the word disqualified, because Kamala Harris used that word when she was talking about his remarks about Liz Cheney. And also Trump himself used that word when he said in that earlier quote from him about Kamala should be disqualified. It's always important, in my view, to pick up these words that have significance. The utterly corrupt and depraved Democratic Party knows full well that they will not be able to steal another election like they did in 2020, given the magnitude of Trump's landslide. So they are now seeding and normalising their PSYOP civil war schemes. They realise that they now require false flag events and further subversion of all things constitution in order to maintain power. Accusing others of the very insurrection crimes that they have been committing and are about to imminently perpetrate is an old Saul Alinsky trick. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are both disciplines of the scholar Saul Alinsky. Manchurian candidate and CIA creation Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton were lifelong students and fans of Alinsky, as are all of the higher-ups at the various unconstitutional three-letter US agencies that comprise the intelligence industrial complex. With the usual Alinsky divide-and-conquer tactics of the left on full display, libs of TikTok posted on X, "Obama last week, I don't understand how we got so toxic and just so divided. Biden, Kamala and Walz, Trump supporters are Nazis and garbage. It's all a bitter circus precisely because radical renegade trash like Obama..." And Renegade was his Secret Service code name, by the way, have been fermenting this toxic divisiveness as part of their Cloward Piven 2.0 strategy to destroy America from within. The Democrats are still hard at work trying to steal this upcoming presidential election with their usual cheating ways before they will ultimately be forced to escalate into whichever martial law type scenarios. Stalingrad and Pursky post on X, Colorado accidentally put voting system passwords online, but officials say election is secure. And that was a headline from Associated Press. Even more secure, MJ Truth Ultra posted, update 2024 election. Someone sent this photo to me, a room full of voting machine equipment kept in an unsecured room. San Pablo Creek Regional Library in Jacksonville, Florida. This is what my source stated. They were there for a weekly chess club meeting, but the meeting was cancelled. They instead found this room full of voting machines with the doors wide open. Anyone could have walked in off the street and could have had unauthorized access to the voting machines. There was no one in there. The door was unlocked and open. I went to the front desk and asked about chess club, and he told me it was cancelled until after the election. I said, if those are the voting machines and equipment, then shouldn't the door be locked? He said, it's not. I said, no, I just walked in off the street looking for chess club. He ran to go lock up the doors. This should be investigated. Those machines and whatever equipment in that room need to be thoroughly checked to see if they were tampered with. We should not have election machines so accessible to the public like this. And MJ Truth Ultra again, announcement. From now until the election, if you experience any issues with voting in the election or witness something go wrong, send it to me. Video evidence is best. The Marxists require vaccine passports and social credit scores, but never ever voter IDs. Health Ranger posted, Dems are flooding the election with fake votes right now and hoping no one stops them. And that was a response to DC Drano's post. The bad news, Michigan Democrats have potentially flooded the system with 164,568 excess ballots with one voter ID allegedly submitting more than 30 votes alone. The good news, the Trump team is thoroughly investigating this matter. On the subject of lawfare, if anyone with legitimate evidence dares expose the Democratic election thievery machine, then they will be prosecuted to the full extent of the color of law. DC Drano again. Gold Star mum Tina Peters has been sentenced to potentially die in prison for preserving election files that were ordered to be illegally deleted by Gina Griswold. Meanwhile, Gina Griswold has accidentally leaked all the voting machine passwords and nothing happens. Injustice. And in a separate post, Gold Star mum Tina Peters sacrificed her freedom to expose election fraud in Colorado. Now that she's been sentenced to 9 years in prison, she's released her election fraud findings. And the wet brain grifter Nancy Pelosi, who was not only instrumental in creating the conditions that led to the J6 setup scam involving embedded undercover FBI agents and various DC insiders while deliberately calling off the National Guard, but is also guilty of the wrongful imprisonment of Bannon. Nancy Pelosi sent me to a federal prison. She wanted to break me. Nancy Pelosi, take out your number 2 pencil and write this down. We're going to deliver a knockout blow to your progressive insanity on November 5th. And then we're going to secure the deal after that. The 4 months in federal prison not only didn't break me, it empowered me. I am more energized and more focused than I've ever been in my entire life. And that was Steve Bannon speaking. Vote like your life depends on it. Trump will win in a landslide. The enemies from within will refuse to certify the results. Chaos may ensue for a few months following November 5th. They will ultimately end up losing. Stay strong, stay peaceful, stay healthy. Also on the subject of Colorado and Gina Griswold, this is a report by Slay News. It repeats about the voting machine passwords. and includes a statement from the Department of State. The Colorado Department of State is aware that a spreadsheet located on the department's website improperly included a hidden tab, including partial passwords to certain components of Colorado voting systems. This does not pose an immediate security threat to Colorado's elections, nor will it impact how ballots are counted, the statement claimed. The department said it took immediate action as soon as it was aware of this and informed the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which oversees security. The department is working to remedy this situation where necessary, the statement added. However, it's worrisome that the statement's tone does not match the gravity of the situation. The state office claims this isn't an immediate threat to election integrity, as passwords can only be used on physical machines. Dave Williams, Colorado Republican Party chairman, was rightly outraged by this situation. Williams told Fox 31 in a statement, "We hear all the time in Colorado from Secretary Griswold and Governor Polis that we represent the gold standard for election integrity, a model for the nation. One can only hope that by the Secretary of State posting our most sensitive passwords online to the world dispels that myth." The state's Republican Party demands proof that the exposed system lives up to the trusted build standard in light of the leak. Unfortunately, that trust will likely remain elusive with Democrat Secretary of State Gina Griswold still in place. Griswold's office knew about the leak and did nothing, which could be chalked up to incompetence. However, as libs of TikTok pointed out in a post on X, Griswold is the same person who tried to remove Trump from the ballot. The Secretary of State fought to disenfranchise Trump's voters at the Supreme Court. Now Griswold is the one attempting to reassure those same voters that the leak won't impact the election. Republicans have called on Griswold to resign, but Griswold has said absolutely not to date, the Denver Gazette reported. These people charged with state elections have no interest in ensuring they are free and fair. We're also seeing incidents in Pennsylvania where voters are being sent home without voting and the office is closing early. There have been more incidents of votes being changed on these Dominion machines, not necessarily in Pennsylvania, I can't remember where it was exactly. But also in Pennsylvania, they complained about non-English speaking people being put to the front of the queue to go in to vote, which, of course, the people that have been in line were absolutely up in arms about. Also, Charlie Kirk reported on X, Georgia Dems are pulling a last-minute Hail Mary in Fulton County in a brazen violation of state laws to try and claw back Republicans' sizable EV advantage. Dems are not allowing independent observers to monitor these activities initiated without any approval. This must be stopped ASAP. And it's replying to Josh McCoon. Georgia Republican Party Chairman Josh McCoon condemns blatant violation of Georgia poll watching law. And it includes a screenshot of an email from Catherine Glenn, Registration Manager, Department of Registration and Elections in Fulton County. And the email says, "Good morning, team. FYI, there are no watchers approved for ballot drop-off. Do not let them in the building. If they want to observe from the parking lot, you can't stop that. But they are not allowed to sit in the building. Have your security detail enforce it." And of course, there was massive election fraud in Georgia in 2020 when they were double counting the ballots, feeding them through the voting machines, the Dominion machines, and pulling out suitcases full of ballots from under the table, if you remember. So the Dems can try and cheat, but the trouble is Kamala Harris's campaign is alienating so many people with the ads they're putting out. I mean, this one is bizarre. This was reported by Vigilant News on the 31st of October. Kamala's bizarre marketing campaign appeals to the worst in humanity. Now it all makes sense. And actually, it was originally published on Zero Hedge. You can tell a lot about a political candidate and their party by their marketing campaigns. Most importantly, do they explain the views of their candidate and their policies, or do they simply seek to manipulate voters into believing something that's not true? The Kamala Harris campaign has actually gone one step further in the past month with a bizarre series of ads that, when examined altogether, showcase an ideological degeneracy that appeals to the worst in humanity. While Donald Trump and conservatives are often accused of being mean or blunt in their rhetoric, at least it's sincere and speaks to actual issues rather than subconscious desires. On the other hand, if you're looking for any kind of class in a candidate, there's none to be found among the Democrats. Taking a page from the Edward Bernays School of Advertising that taps into the grimy recesses and narcissism of the dregs of society, the marketing for Harris has been odd. It encourages dishonesty among families, relies on shaming techniques instead of critical thinking, and it's often sexually charged in the ugliest way. Some of these ads are not directly created by Harris operatives, but generally speaking, most ads are approved by the candidate or political party officials before they're released. In her most recent campaign, Harris ads attempt to sow discord among married couples, suggesting that women should hide their political views from their husbands and vote for Harris without them knowing. Or the goal is to suggest that American men are somehow controlling their wives and coercing them into voting for Trump. In the Democrat fantasy world, the only reason a woman would vote for Trump is because her husband is forcing her to. It's a rather insulting portrayal of women, but it also taps into the leftist assumption that all minorities and women are their political property. If a woman or a minority votes conservative, Democrats assert that it's because they've been brainwashed into it. Beyond that, any man who has been married for even a short period of time is well aware of his wife's political ideals and will not be surprised by how she votes. It's strange that the Harris camp is trying to portray voting as if it should be treated like an extramarital affair. Of course, this is the kind of behaviour that progressives commonly encourage women to engage in. It's just weird to see it so blatantly promoted in a campaign ad. Then there's the efforts to shame men into voting for Harris, which have clearly not gone over so well. Her support among men is dismal, even among Gen Z, and this can be attributed directly to the decade-long propaganda war on masculinity perpetrated by leftists. Men remember, and they're certainly not going to vote for the same people that have called them incels or rapists or toxic for years. Oh, and incidentally, women are up in arms about that ad saying that women should hide their vote from their husbands. It's crazy. Meanwhile, Democrats may have made an epic blunder with this grotesque ad featuring a man masturbating in bed while watching porn, only to be disrupted by a cliché Republican invading his privacy and telling him he's not allowed to punish his porpoise anymore. I haven't heard it called that before. Emergent Perspective on X comments on the ad. Latest white dudes for Harris ad. Seriously, you can't make this shit up. They're trying to alienate both men and women. Kamala Harris isn't a presidential candidate. She's a prank played upon an entire nation by an establishment that mocks the concept of decency itself. The ad itself is far creepier than the Republican it tried to lampoon, insinuating that masturbation is on the ballot and that this is something the average male voter should be focused on. For progressives, everything is about sex. A root obsession of narcissists, sexual gratification is a core value for them, and sexual identity a proxy making up for a lack of any legitimate personality. Furthermore, the conservative efforts against pornography are specifically aimed at enforcing age limits online so that children don't have access, a perversive problem in the digital era. It's a reasonable position, but Democrats desperately want kids to have access to sexual content for some reason. Sticking with the theme of sexual gratification, let's not forget this little gem of an ad which features a black man trying to match with women on a fake dating show, only to be denied by all of them because he says he's not voting. The message? Vote for Harris or you won't get laid. The marketing is also aimed at women, much like the voting in secret ad, teaching them to treat men like the enemy unless those men vote Democrat. There are dozens of other ads like this beyond those listed here, with a host of Dem candidates following Kamala's lead. This is truly the dark side of political content, reducing voters down to their most base animal instincts and avoiding any mention of actual policy. To be sure, Democrats understand the mentality of their core supporters well, but these ads would not appeal to anyone outside of the most rabid leftist activists. For posterity, the Harris marketing campaign should be studied as a window into the progressive mind. Future generations should be dissecting this material for decades to come as an example of one of the most unsettling chapters in American political history. Then, of course, we have pollsters, particularly those who are politicised, who are manipulating the polling results just to make it look like Trump isn't way ahead in the polls. And this is reported by Just the News. Polling guru says industry cheating to make Trump-Harris race look closer than it is. Your numbers aren't all going to come out at exactly 1 point leads when you're sampling 800 people over dozens of surveys. You are lying, Nate Silver says. Pollster Nate Silver is accusing other pollsters of cheating with their battleground state surveys. I don't think we're going to learn very much in this last week of the polling. In fact, I kind of trust pollsters less. Every time a pollster says, oh, every state is just a plus one, every single state's a tie, no, you're effing herding, you're cheating, Silver said on his Risky Business podcast on Thursday. What we've actually seen in informal polls, like one that Elon Musk did, and latterly what Joe Rogan did after he interviewed Trump, as Gateway Pundit reports, Joe Rogan posts presidential poll on social media after his historic interview with President Trump. The results are stunning. And I'm just going to jump to the results. And this shows Trump at 96.4% and Harris at 3.6%. And there's also results from Atlas Intel, which was the most accurate of 2020, predicts Trump winning all seven battleground states. New electoral map based on Atlas Intel polling, Trump 312, Harris 226, and that's the Electoral College votes, of course. And that was posted by Interactive Polls. And Polymarket, which is an election betting site, also shows Trump way ahead. And when I see all the people that always voted Democrat suddenly say that they're voting Trump or have voted Trump, I mean, this is going to be the biggest landslide ever. Before I finish on this subject, I just want to share a prediction that Jack Straw posted on X, and it wasn't his own. He gives the credit at the end of it, but it reads, yes, I feel pretty confident the military will pull the plug on this election before it completes. Was listening to Trump's 1P EST rally in North Carolina just a few minutes ago. He said 6 more days, well, maybe 5, depending on how you count it. No matter how you count it, i.e. count today or not, It's definitely 6 more days until Tuesday 11/6. Well, it should have read Tuesday 11/5, but anyway, this suggests the plug gets pulled Monday. In my humble opinion, the plug will be pulled Monday based on the volume of cheating. Space Force has the real ballots watermarked and can see the real vote totals. By Monday, the overwhelming majority of people will have already voted, and Trump's real win numbers will be staggering. Trump has said repeatedly, 11/6 will be the most historic political event, not election, in our nation's history. What is that? It's got to be way more than a presidential election that happens every 4 years. I think Brunson gets released too, and Space Force releases the real 2020 vote count as well, where Trump also won in a landslide. Trump gets reinstated immediately, and 388 people, including Biden, Harris, Pence, and 385 Congress members, get arrested for treason for failure to follow the Constitution on 1/6/2021, instead illegally certifying a fraudulent election. I see Nasara announced either that same day or shortly thereafter too. That was by Sue Donovan. So the mention of the 388 people were the ones accused of treason by the Brunsons for not investigating the potential fraud in the 2020 election. So if that happens, it will be glorious. And it also links to that move in Congress. And I might not get the wording right here, but it was to how to replace a mass removal of Congress people. We'll have to wait and see, but we are living in very exciting times, I must say. There's so much that's happening over this election. Some of it's hilarious, and some of it just to me indicates above a shadow of a doubt that the White Hats are in control. It's, again, some of it is very much the theatre of the absurd, especially with these Harris ads that are out there. I just want to spend a few minutes now on the uproar in the UK, and bear in mind that UK people, the Brits, have been really angry ever since Starmer got into power and started all these draconian moves against the British people. But this time it's really gone over the top, because there are two things that it relates to. One is the budget that happened on the 31st, which I'll go into. And the second thing is information that was released about the killing in July of these young girls at a Taylor Swift dance party by what was claimed to be, or who was claimed to be, this young black Christian who was from Wales, even though he was from Rwanda originally, or at least his parents were. And the only photos that were shown of him was as this young boy, and he was supposedly in an ad on the BBC for Children in Need, which is one of the annual fundraisers for children. And it was released by the head of the Merseyside police who did the investigation, that this guy, who was 17 at the time of the stabbings and who is now 18, had actually downloaded a copy of the Al-Qaeda terrorist training manual and also was in possession of ricin, which is a lethal nerve gas. Now, that in itself is bad enough, but there are many, many people who have been jailed for posting on Facebook questions about this person being an Islamic extremist. And now it turns out that he actually is, They should never have been charged with any crimes at all. And the big question is, when did Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister and the Home Secretary, actually know about this? Because it's more than likely that they were informed immediately when the house where this man lived. And to add insult to injury, after Keir Starmer appeared to place a wreath at the memorial just after these killings occurred, he then announced, I think it was £2 million he was awarding to protect mosques. It's just unbelievable. So as you can imagine, the public is absolutely up in arms. And not only that, in Parliament, the Speaker put a gag order on asking any questions about this case, claiming it would jeopardise a fair trial. So they're definitely hiding everything. And I'm just hoping that when Trump gets in, he's going to take this administration down, because we don't need it. As far as the budget is concerned, the thing that most people are up in arms about, apart from, you know, general tax increases that are really going to kill any economic growth, not deliver growth, which is what the Chancellor of the Exchequer is claiming. It's very reminiscent of the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act, actually. It's a complete contradiction in terms. But it's the attack on farmers again. And they've been under pressure for years, I believe, decades even. And what they've done is they've reduced the exemption from inheritance tax, which means that if you have assets over £1 million, you're going to have to pay exorbitant rates of tax. Now, as people rightly pointed out, any farm that is operating is asset rich but cash poor. Of course, no farm is worth only £1 million. That's more like a small holding. God, you have to pay like £1 million for a four bedroom house in the UK now, in certain areas. So this is an absolute attack on farmers and generational farmers, because if the farmer dies, the owner of the farm, then they're going to have to sell the farm in order to pay the taxes. And coincidentally, Bill Gates and Larry Fink of BlackRock visited Starmer only a week or so before the budget was announced, which was on Thursday. So given that Starmer is a WF puppet along with most of his cabinet, and Bill Gates has been buying up farmland in the US like there's no tomorrow, I suspect that this is part of the plan to control the whole food supply and make you eat the bugs and artificial food. So, as I said, the British people are up in arms. On the one hand, due to the two-tier justice that the Starmer regime has perpetrated, and there's far more to this than I have time to cover today, but also the decimation of the farming industry. It's, you know, the source of our food supply. But the farmers are fighting back. James Melvin on X posts, "Please show your support calling for the government to overturn this family farm tax. Please sign this NFU, that's National Farmers Union, tweets petition, already at 25,000 signatures. And then there's also a poster that's been posted. This is by God Save Great Britain. Support our UK farmers. Let's make this viral. Please repost No Farmers, No Food. UK farmers need every one of us. Why? Farming is our last major industry. Once it's gone, it's gone. Then they will have taken all of our industries. Show your support, London 19th, 11 a.m. Westminster. And what's planned is a major convoy of farmers in tractors, rather like they did in France, and literally spray manure over the Houses of Parliament, I think, which would be wonderful. When it says taken all of our industries, the Labour Party or the Labour government have closed down the last steelworks. They've stopped mining. They've stopped oil and gas leases. So it's another case similar to what Biden has done in the US of stopping the supply of oil and natural gas and spending billions on net zero, insane policies like carbon capture machines. It's just beyond a joke. But I do say, I think, as I've said before, I think this is part of the Great Awakening plan by the White Hats, because the UK people have to be brought up to speed for when Trump actually resets this whole thing. And this is a good reset, not a WEF reset. I do believe that is what is going to follow. However, the win is achieved, whether it's that prediction that Jack Straw posted or whether it's a more conventional election outcome, I don't know, but I do believe we're going to see major changes. And very encouragingly, my favourite astrologer, Starseed Astrology, posted yesterday, "We think and predict that President Trump is heading for a historic landslide victory that will be even greater than his last two." And they have, Sal and Amari, have a track record of their predictions being spot on. So I do hope this is the case. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to what happens this coming week. I'm debating staying up and watching the election. We'll see how the time goes. But I do think this is going to be a real game changer. And it's fantastic just to see the energy that Trump has. I mean, the guy's been doing interviews. He's been doing rallies. He's been playing jokes on the Democrats with his garbage truck. It's hilarious. And Dan Scavino posted on X a video of this young boy in a miniature garbage truck, obviously his Halloween costume. And Dan Scavino commented and said, "We'll have to send this young man some complimentary Trump merchandise, signed merchandise." So you never know, if they find out who it was, he'll be getting a nice gift in the mail. So there you have it. As I say, you know, we're down to the wire now, only a couple of days to go before the election, and hopefully we'll get the results very quickly. And we have got lots of people in the UK rooting for Trump, saying, "Trump, come and save us from this horrendous Labour government." And hopefully he will. He's already declared war on Starmer and Co. because of election interference. So hopefully he'll take the necessary action. So I'm going to leave it there for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week when we know the outcome of November 5th, which incidentally is Guy Fawkes Night in the UK, which is a celebration of the gunpowder plot when Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. So I'm hoping that it'll blow up all these WEF regimes across the world when Trump takes over. Thank you to Nancy for producing. And as a quick reminder, visit my website at thesuccessalchemist.net, where you'll find lots of blog posts on empowerment, spiritual development and manifestation, as well as my manifestation assessment, which is free and comes with a free session with me when I go through the results and identify your path to consistently successful manifestation. So until next time, stay well, be safe, vote for Trump if you haven't already. Love to all of you and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.